Okay, it's, you know, when Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem, I presume, and he stopped in some, they went through Samaria, and he stopped at this well, and the disciples went in to get something to eat, and he was thirsty, and this lady, Samaritan lady, came out, the non-Jewish lady came out to get water from the well. And, yeah, start of verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The point of that was socially acceptable behaviour doesn't seem to interest Jesus too much. You know, it was socially unacceptable to talk to a Samaritan woman and, you know, ask her for a drink, but he didn't care. So, you know, he's more concerned with doing the will of his father. You know, so social etiquette, you know, doesn't matter. Okay, that's that one out of the road. Okay, our hope. We've got a few Bible verses here. Psalms 33. And the next one's Hebrew 12. If you want to stick your finger in that one. Psalms 33, verses 20 to 22. And this one talks about putting our hope in Jesus, which, you know, we're instructed to do. "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you." And there's many verses in the Bible that have similar meaning, that, you know, our God's worthy of trust, and we can put our hope in him, our hope for the future and our hope for now. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Printed all these out on bits of paper, and do you know how complicated it is to find which one you want next? Oh, I was much better off just marking the Bible, I think. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. And this is about keeping your eyes on Jesus. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." And again, many verses say, you know, you can put your hope in Jesus, put your eyes on him, look to him, follow him, you know. All the troubles you have, just turn, you know, just look at Jesus. Then we go to Psalms and Romans. Psalm 33 and Romans 5. Ah, sorry. Did I? Okay. I told you I shouldn't have printed them off. Psalm 33:20-22. Yeah, no, sorry, it's a different one. Psalm 33:16-22. Romans 5:1-5. Psalms 33. Ah, that's right, that's the one I didn't have. All right, Psalms 33:16-22. Mighty armies alone cannot win wars for a king. Great strength by itself cannot keep a soldier safe. In war, the strength of a horse cannot be trusted to take you to safety. But the Lord watches over all who honour him and trust his kindness. He protects them from death and starvation. We depend on you, Lord, to help and protect us. You make our hearts glad because we trust you, the only God. Be kind and bless us. We depend on you. Romans 5:1-5. Now we have hope. Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The Bible tells us we have reason for our hope in God. You know? We're going to go to 1 Corinthians now. And then stick your finger in Matthew 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24-27. This is Paul, and he's writing a letter to the Corinthians. You know that many races enter a race, and only one of them wins the prize. So run to win. Athletes work hard to win a crown that cannot last, but we do it for a crown that will last forever. I don't run without a goal, and I don't box by beating my fists in the air. I keep my body under control and make it my slave, so I won't lose out after telling the good news to others. Paul's got a hope. He's got a goal. He knows what he's running for, and he's going to run and he's going to win. Run to the end. There are lots of reasons for our hope in God. If we go to Matthew 24, to 31. And after that we're going to John. All these verses I'm reading, that, you know, they're reasons that we can trust God, they're reasons we can have hope in Him. Matthew 24, 29 to 31. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky, with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. For those that run the race to the end, for those that keep looking at Jesus and don't give up, it won't end badly. You know, we have that hope that he says he's going to come back and take us with him. Then we go to John. Chapter 6 and chapter 11. John chapter 6, verses 44 to 47. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me makes them want to come. But if they do come, I will raise them to life on the last day. One of the prophets wrote, God will teach all of them. And so everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him will come to me. The only one who has seen the Father is the one who has come from him. No one else has ever seen the Father. I tell you for certain that everyone who has faith in me has eternal life. That's a promise, you know. Doesn't get any clearer than that. Jesus said, you have faith in me. If you run the race, you will have eternal life with him. John 11, 10 to 14. About Lazarus, you know, how he died and Jesus came and raised him from death. Verse 10, but if you walk during the night, you will stumble because you don't have any light. Then he told them, our friend Lazarus is asleep, and I am going to wake him up. They replied, Lord, if he is asleep, he will get better. Jesus really meant that Lazarus was dead, but they thought he was talking only about sleep. And Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And you know what happened? He raised him from death. Jesus has the power to give life, both in this world and for life ever after. And the thought I have is, do you know what your hope is? Do you have a goal like Paul said he did? You know, I don't run without a goal. He doesn't box by, you know, waving his fist in the air. He's not wasting time. He's there to get on with his job and to run his race. I know there's been times, maybe you can relate to this, I don't know, but there's times when I haven't liked my job, where, you know, not the one at Woolworths, of course. But in previous jobs, you know, I've woken up in the morning and gone, oh, I've got to go to work. You know, I don't know if anyone else has done that, but I've done that. But I still did it. And maybe you fathers might be able to relate to this, but basically, I will do any job if it means putting milk and bread on the table for my kids. You know, even if I hate the job, I'll still do it. Because my goal, the thing I really is important to me, is looking after the family. Now, of course, you leave that job as soon as you can find a better one that you're happier in, of course, but but what about what happens when we have going through a really hard time with our Christian walk? When you're having hard days or weeks or months or even years, what is it? What's your goal? What's important to you? Why is it that you stay trying to look at Jesus? Why is it that you still hopefully have that hope, or desperately want to have that hope anyway? What is your goal? What is your hope? Why are you a Christian? Why are you still one? What is your goal? Because the Bible tells us times are going to get a lot harder than this. And Paul had a goal. He had a reason. And he worked hard and lived hard, worked hard, and died hard. But what is your goal? What's your hope? Do you have one? Or is it a vague God, Jesus thing? Do you have a more specific hope than that? And if you do, do you want to share it with us?
Yeah. Is that hope of eternal life and wanting to, when you know, when we do die, to stand in front of God and for him to say, yes, I know you, you know, well done, good faithful servant, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You don't want to die and get to that place and not know Jesus and not know, and we know what the consequences are, like it's going to say, like what you know.
Yeah.
That's for me personally, I want to experience that day. So my goal is to have that. Mm. Integrate in every aspect of your life.
You and Jesus with you now.
Mm. Yeah.
To help you through it. And
I don't know, but my vision, like when you say what's the goal, a lot of the times it's sort of at the end of my life. For me, at the moment, right now, that's where I'm
at. Yeah. Anyone else?
When I first became a Christian, probably said it hundreds of times, the questioning about becoming a Christian, I wanted to become a Christian because I would go to heaven. And my reason for wanting to go to heaven initially was to see Jason again, because I believed he was there and I didn't know how to get there, but I wanted to get there. So that was my goal first day. And then I found out how you get there, which is by having Jesus in your life and asking him to come and take over. And then as I did that and I began to get to know Jesus and grow, and I knew it was the wrong reason to follow him right at the beginning. And I told God that. But as I got to know God, as I got to know Jesus, then the love could begin to grow. And also the reality of, even if Jason's not in heaven when I get there, he's in hell, well, I still go for it. And I determined that, yes, I needed to have my life given over to God, given over to Jesus, because that was the way, like, that is the way to go. And if Jason wasn't there, he would want us to be there. We had testimonies later where there was visions and Jason was reassured, you know, to us that he is in heaven. But I had to face that reality, that that wasn't the reason why I was to pursue this life of following Jesus. It was for Jesus himself and my need of him. So for me it was, yeah, that was the starting point, but it's changed as I've got to know him and follow him. It's become a life of sharing who he is so that others may know. And then that's a daily thing. You don't just do it on Sunday or just when you're in scripture or whatever. That has to be a daily thing where you honour him, and you muck it up, but you keep going. You keep going because you don't know who it is you're talking to or who's watching you, who God is using you to demonstrate to them who he is and that he's alive. So, yeah, that's the daily goal, too, just to be a witness for him.
Anyone else? Your goal, your hope?
Much more to say. there's nothing here for me other than God, Jesus, and it's the relationship with him here, because that's what he put me here for. That he put every one of us here for, that relationship. And without it, the relationship, it doesn't matter what happens in the world, it's all meaningless. So it's that relationship, and then that leads us to eternal life later.
Does anyone want to say anything else? Okay. Well, that was my thought. What was our goal? Did we have one? Or was it a vague thing? Because, when times are easy, you know, when you're Usain Bolt and you're the fastest man in the world and you're going to run a race and you know you're going to win, you don't have to put your best effort in. We'll just put it in for a couple of seconds, and then when you're 20 metres in front of everyone else, slow down and just coast. But when you're the second fastest man in the world and you're racing against Usain Bolt, you put your effort in. You know, if there's any chance at all you're going to survive, if you're going to win the race, you've got to put it all in. And if you don't have a goal, I think, if you don't have a hope, and possibly a more definite hope or goal, then when things get hard and tough for Christians, which I think it will, the weaker or the less definite your hope or your goal or your trust in Jesus, then the easier it is for you not to finish the race. I'm done. Took even longer than I thought. How about that?
There you go. Oh, sorry. Swap your spots or...